on 1116 SEN, the award-winning Crunch Time.
For Honda's seven-year sale, ends June 30.
Reflecting on Sydney's 30-point win over Carlton last night, which has the Swans at 8-3 at the halfway mark. And John Longmire, the Swans coach, is with us on Crunch Time. John, good morning.
Morning, Jared, everyone.
What did you take from last night?
Well, most importantly, the 4 points.
Yes.
It's the key one, the obvious one. But, look, you know, we're still working on playing some good four quarters of good footy. We thought that Carlton, going into the game, had played pretty well against Geelong at Geelong last week, so we weren't expecting an easy game by any means, and we got a real arm wrestle.
We're debating all sorts of possibilities here, John. Is it possible that this incarnation of the Swans is not as well suited to the SCG as previous ones under your watch have been?
How's that? What's that?
In the style of play.
Well, we've lost one game by 10 points, another game by 2 points at the SCG, so our record's probably, you know, whilst it's not absolutely perfect, we've only lost by a couple of kicks both times, and we've just did a couple of things wrong in the last 5 minutes of the game, the North game in particular, that we lost. But we're more than comfortable with the SCG.
Yeah, so same as ever?
We're evolving our team. I mean, our team's clearly evolving. We've got a lot of new players coming in, a lot of kids, particularly in our front half. And so, you know, it's not going to be perfect the whole time, and I think you've just got to look at that rather than look at some of the other reasons. We've got some young players in our teams now, and we're just getting used to playing good competitive football wherever it is, whether it's the SCG or any ground.
John, love some of the young kids that you've brought in over the last 12 months or so. You know, I think Ollie Florent just keeps improving all the time. I was up there last night at the game, but Hayward, you know, his consistency in being able to get onto the scoreboard has been excellent. Ronk, no one ever expected him to do what he did in that game against the Hawks, but certainly adds a little bit of effervescence to your game. Are you seeing your boys in the middle of the ground? Josh, who seems to be playing better later in the games than necessarily early in the games, and particularly Dan Hannabury, how are you seeing your boys travelling along just at the moment? You got wins, I mean, so that's all you need to do is bank them at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, look, you know, first of all, you probably aren't, you know, it's hard to win games of footy these days. It's really difficult, so even regardless of where the teams are on the ladder. Brisbane last week were really difficult and in good form, and so it is hard to win. But you know, our senior boys have been going okay, but they've set such high standards as a group for such a long time. So you know, they're probably not at those levels that they've been in the past, but that was a pretty high level. And the reality is that if they could play better, that'd be terrific. But they do set the bar high, and it has given the opportunity and the necessity for younger players to come through and really contribute. Last night we had Stoddart as well. Obviously, Hayward, you mentioned Florent, who's been really good. Those kids have been stepping up, and we hope to get a bit more consistent performance out of our senior group as well.
John, I'm not sure there's a more admired player in the comp than Dan Hannabury, but he is struggling. He's averaging under 20 disposals for the first time in a long time. Hasn't even scored so far through seven games this year. How banged up is he, and is there a point where you need to perhaps give him another rest?
He was actually pretty good last week, Kane. Against Brisbane, he had a lot of contested footy, and he was actually pretty good last week. He was quiet last night. He copped an early hit in the game. How much that affected him, I'm not sure. We are mindful of the style of footy he plays. He plays a very combative style of footy, and we know that. But, you know, he was a bit quiet last night. There's no denying that. But, we're confident he's still okay. I didn't talk to him immediately after the game, but I'll get a report on him during the week.
Jared McVeigh, is there a chance he could go on? Because he's having a pretty solid year.
He's been good.
Yeah, he's been really good. I mean, he's at the moment he's retiring at the end of this year. I mean, that's what the plan is. We haven't had any discussions contrary to that. But he's been playing well. He's he's really contributing every week. And we haven't had any of those discussions yet. The plan was set at the end of last year, and we haven't spoken about any adjustment of that at all at this point.
Bob Murphy with John Longmire. Oh, I'm not sure.
Must have dropped out.
Yeah, we'll get that line back.
Johnny, Just last night, I sat there last night and thought, well, if Carlton are going to have a chance in this game, Cruiser and Cripps need to have a big part to play. I thought that the two blokes who mostly played on them, being Callum Sinclair and George Hewitt, were in the best three or four players on the ground. So to me, that was a big win for your team.
Yeah, look, we understand that, everyone understands in the competition, Cruiser and Cripps are really key players. So, they're very important players. We think that Callum did a reasonable job last night. He's been in pretty good form this year for us. Not only in the ruck and around the ground getting the ball, but pushing forward, hitting the scoreboard. He did that a couple of times last night, which is important. Cripps was probably looked a little bit banged up.
Yeah, he was very sore after that. I was down at Geelong last week. He looked real sore at the end of that game.
Yeah. And look, we can't do much about that, obviously, other than just George and Luke Parker and a few others playing through that part of the ground did a pretty good job, but he probably looked a bit sore.
John, the Clarkson debate around blocking, it was obviously Dane Rampey took that rather personally. Is that fair?
Well, what he was mentioned by him in the press, would that be fair? So, I mean, that's just that's what he was named in the by Alistair, so you can understand his reaction to that.
So, has it been a present conversation around your club between your players?
Not that I know of. No, not unless it was the way it was addressed during the week when I spoke publicly about it on the Monday. But really, since then, it hasn't been a big issue.
In terms of the cheeky little sledge towards the umpire, that's as good as it gets, isn't it, John?
Not a bad one-liner, was it, Jeff?
It was good.
Do you feel like you've been able to reach peace on that front, or is that going to bubble away now that it's been brought to attention?
No, I mean, I'm on the public record of saying, and so is Alistair, we spoke on the Wednesday afterwards, so we're fine. We're fine with that.
John, I heard Dean Cox speak pre-game and he said that Buddy's inability to train this year has stood out. He's hardly trained since round one when he had that sore Achilles. But is he back training now with the main group and what sort of shape is he in?
Yeah, okay. Look, he didn't train since he got injured in round one for about 6 weeks. And he's been back training the last few weeks. He's sort of trained for 15, 20 minutes the first week and probably the same the second week. Actually, this week he actually trained for the whole session. Which is a good sign, but we're not, we're certainly wary of the injury that he's got. I don't think it's going to go away quickly. We just hope he gets better week by week. And, we're mindful of trying not to train him too much so you don't get him too sore for game day. So getting that balance is a challenge that we're faced with probably for a number of weeks.
So how did you find your forward 50 movement last night with their double banking of Buddy? Obviously, Rowe always playing behind him, Jones always being the man to come off and try to intercept in front of him. How did that go? At times you got him a little higher, or he got himself a little higher up the ground. That opened up other options. How did you find all that playing out?
Yeah, well, look, we knew going in the game, Terry, that's probably the case, particularly when we didn't have a lot of tall marking options in our front half, and they had a few tall marking options as far as defenders. So we knew that. I mean, apart from centre bounces, really, we were 6-on-6. We were trying to be in front of the ball to make them accountable. But at times, we were probably in the wrong position. But it's also good for Lance to get up the ground. So they don't have a reference point, I guess. So when he gets higher up the ground, they don't have that reference point, and he's a beautiful field kick. So we like him to start in different areas, and at times some of our younger forwards got a little bit higher as well, but they're still working through that and still learning.
John, I know I'm going to be bleating the obvious that he's a pretty amazing player here, but this is more for our listeners out there. I thought he had a reasonably quiet night, yet when you sort of start to unravel, I jump back on the plane today, he had second most kicks for Sydney. He had 6 inside 50s, which was the most for Sydney. He had 578 metres gain, which was the number one of any player on the ground, and had 5 scoring shots.
Yeah, he doesn't set a bad standard. It's not a bad standard. It is mindful when you're comparing his game. Do you compare it to him and at his best, or do you compare it to his impact on the game? And we discussed that during the week quite often. The impact according to the game, or the impact according to Lance.
Yeah.
And he does set a high standard. But it isn't just about Lance, or it isn't just about Josh Kennedy. It's about Isaac Kennedy and Callum Sinclair and George Hewitt, Ollie Florent. There's a number of other players there that we've been really happy with, and everyone rowing the boat. What the name of the game is?
Bob.
Yeah, John, Bob here. I was just wondering, it was really heartwarming last night on the broadcast to see Adam Goods out there with Michael O'Loughlin. How significant was that to have Adam part of last night?
He's been around a bit, Bob. I mean, he comes into the footy club and comes in a couple of times, and I saw him 2 weeks ago in the club, and doesn't come in a heap, but he's in really good spirits. I mean, he was no problem coming in last night and presenting that. The medal, you're so proud of that, the Goods O'Loughlin medal, and it's been fantastic. I mean, the round is a significant round, the Indigenous round, the Mangrook game for us is really important, so it was great to see him there last night. He has been around the club a bit.
And what about the maturity of the group, John? The Blues got the jump on you last night. There was a real steady hand out there on the field. Is that a message you send down to the leaders, or you got full confidence that the leaders can steady the ship out there amongst the group?
Yeah, look, we probably did a couple of things just before half time that we weren't happy with in regards to that. And we had a chat about it at half time, and we thought the leaders, particularly in the third quarter, the second half of the third quarter, were pretty significant, and that's important when you've got those younger players around as well. And it's not just about the possessions they get; it's about how they handle the team and how they get our structures right and how they want to set the tone of the contest. And we thought probably with 10 minutes to go in the third, they were pretty significant in that aspect.
John, 7 years you've been coaching, you've made the final 7 years in a row. In a competition that is so even, how do you continually reinvent and rejuvenate the playing group like you've done?
Oh, it's just a reliance on good people, a very good recruiter in Kinnear Beetson, and a pretty consistent playing group. That's what you rely upon, no matter whether you coach the Swans or any club. And we live on the edge up here in Sydney. We understand it's the most competitive marketplace in the country for sport. And we need to be trying to get better every year, and that's what we try and do. And you rely enormously on your leaders to be able to set that standard through the footy club. And we've been fortunate to have some really good leaders for a long period of time up here.
What are your thoughts about the slide, the big freeze?
Oh, geez, Jared, I'm a bit worried about it. What a great concept. I mean, I don't know whether, Jared, you probably know more than me, whether that's this sort of thing's ever happened anywhere in the world, in world sport. Having 18 coaches involved in something like this is significant, not only for the absolute cause, the MND, which is big, but for also the person that Neil Danaher is and the role he had in the Coaches Association. He's just a great bloke, and what a great concept.
It is the most brilliant show of unity. I can't believe that this has happened anywhere else. So what does it tell us about our coaches? So you go out there, try to rip each other to shreds, but there must be a sense of collegiality between you.
Yeah, there is. There's no doubt. I mean, we get together at the Coaches Association meeting every year, and we do talk about the good of the game, and we are competitors. We want to win, but it's a bit like when Alistair and I went head-to-head a couple of weeks ago, and then we had a chat on the Wednesday, and we were all good. So that's the way it's got to be. We understand that there's bigger things than winning, even though winning's absolutely significant in our priority during the course of the year when you're talking about a cause like this. And for the boys that are coaching on the day to be involved as well is significant. I just think it's a wonderful gesture.
Do you know what you're going to wear?
We're waiting on some suggestions from a few of the supporters. I'm getting a bit jumpy about that, Jared. I'm waiting if I can get a big enough, thick enough wetsuit. And that's going to be the starting point.
Yes, wetsuits are banned, I can tell you from experience. I floated that as
really?
An idea and bang!
Okay, well, that's off then.
You've got to pay the full price. Good on you, John. We look forward to seeing you on the Queen's birthday.